Let's turn now to Revelation chapter 8. This morning, we want you to look at verses 3 and 4 with us. As we are in the heavenly scene, another angel came and he stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Prayer is one of the greatest privileges that God has allotted to man. To think that I can have an audience with God, the creator of the universe. How awesome that is. Right after the end of World War II, I was in college and I made a trip back east. And while we were there in Toledo, Ohio, my brother and I drove on up to Dearborn, Michigan, to the Ford plant. They had just started production of Fords again, and the dealers were charging premiums to just get on the list, and it took you a long time if you were on the list to get delivery of your car. So we decided that we would go and talk to Mr. Ford and see if we could circumvent a lot of the waiting and all. And so we went into the plant and up to the secretary, and I said, "Hi, my name is Chuck Smith. I'd like to see Mr. Ford." And she looked at me rather quizzically, and she said, "I've been working here for 25 years. I'd like to see him too." I haven't seen him in the 25 years I've been working here. So I realized that, there are some people you just don't approach at any time. I mean, it takes quite a bit to get through to see them. But the exciting thing to me is that I can have an appointment with God any time, that he is always available, that he is not so important that he will not receive me when I come. What a glorious privilege prayer is. But more than that, God has invited me to come, to bring my needs, my requests, my desires. God said to Jeremiah, "Call unto me, I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things." To David, God said, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me." In the psalm that we read this morning, David said, "I will call on thee in the day of trouble, and you will answer me." Peter encouraged us to cast all of our cares upon him, because he cares for you. Let me take that one step further. God delights in your coming and spending time with him. He actually takes pleasure in fellowshipping with you. Now, prayer can take many different forms. The first form of prayer is worship. Praise, adoration, just sitting at his feet, loving him, adoring him, expressing your love, just sharing, opening your heart, and letting him open his heart to you. You remember the story of the sisters Mary and Martha. When Jesus had come to their home, Mary just sat at the feet of Jesus, visiting, talking, sharing. While Martha was out busy trying to get things prepared, the dinner and so forth. And finally, Martha complained to Jesus. She said, "Lord, would you send Mary out here to help me? I'm so busy trying to get everything ready, and she just sits there with you." And Jesus said that Mary had chosen the better part. Better than the works that you do for the Lord. It's just time spent with Him, worshiping Him, expressing your love. I think that worship is probably the highest form of prayer. It's just enjoying God for who He is. Just loving Him and telling Him of that love. The psalmist said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." David said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt His name together." David said, "Exalt ye the Lord our God. Worship at His footstool, for He is holy." As the hymn writer declared, "Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. As I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend." Many people think of prayer only as petition, but prayer is worship. And I believe the highest form is when I'm just communing with Him as friend with friend. There is petition. That is the second form of prayer and probably the most common form of prayer, where we are seeking God's help, God's provisions, God's guidance for our lives. Now, there's nothing wrong with petition. I have a real difficulty with those people who say in sort of a self-righteous way, "Well, I never like to bother God with my personal things." I think, "Oh, come on, give me a break. You're not that holy." And we all have needs. And it is perfectly proper to bring your needs to God. Nothing wrong with that at all. In fact, throughout the scriptures, we have examples of those that were calling upon God. And even God saying, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer you." I mean, He's encouraging us to call in the time of need. But unfortunately, that's the only time that many people do call, is when they are in great need. And many people think of prayer only as petition. But prayer is also intercession. When I go beyond my own needs and I begin to intercede for the needs of others, I begin to pray for those that are in authority over us. I begin to pray for our nation. I begin to pray for our missionaries. I begin to pray for our community. I pray for our church. I pray for you. And as we are going beyond ourselves and the needs around us, interceding for others, that again is a wonderful form of prayer. Now, in the Lord's model prayer that He gave to us, it's often called the Lord's Prayer. It has all three aspects of prayer: the worship, the petition, and the intercession. It begins with worship. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It moves into intercession. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth even as it is in heaven." And then it moves on into petition. "Give us this day our daily bread." And forgive us our transgressions as we forgive those who transgress against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. And then back to worship, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so it moves from worship to intercession to petition and back to worship again. Now, the scripture teaches that our prayers are as a sweet fragrance to God. That is, he enjoys the prayers of the people. And it is interesting that the incense, the sweet-smelling incense, was used as a symbol of the prayers of God's people rising to the throne of God. In the Old Testament, when Moses was commanded of the Lord to build the tabernacle, in the inner portion of the tabernacle, there was that holiest place, commonly called the Holy of Holies. And there was the Ark of the Covenant, covered with the gold mercy seat, with the golden cherubims above it. And this was such a holy place that the high priest entered in only one day out of the year. It was a very solemn occasion. He would offer many sacrifices that day. And he would finally go into the Holy of Holies through the veil on into the Holy of Holies to stand in the presence of God to offer the prayers unto God for the nation, for the people, for the sins of the nation. Now we are told that when he entered in to this holiest place, Leviticus 16, he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and he's to bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the Ark of the Covenant, that he die not. So, as he would get ready to enter in to the place of God's presence behind the veil into the Holy of Holies, he would stop by the altar and he would take these glowing hot coals from the altar and put them in this little golden bowl that he held by a chain. And so with the one hand holding the little censer on the chain, the other hand he would fill with powdered incense. And as he entered in behind the veil, as they would pull back the veil and he would enter in, he was to take this handful of incense and drop it on the glowing coals. Being ground to the fine powder, it would instantly just burst into smoke, filling the Holy of Holies, covering the mercy seat. And the incense, the smoke of the incense was representative of the prayers of the people being offered unto God. Now, the earthly tabernacle was a model of heaven. When the Lord commanded Moses to build it, he said, "Now you make sure that you build it according to the specifications and according to the plans that were given to you," because it was to be a model of what heaven is like. The throne of God, the mercy seat, the cherubims about the throne of God, and thus the tabernacle was an earthly model of what heaven looked like. And even as the priest entering into this presence of God would take the powdered incense and drop it on the glowing coals so that the smoke would fill the Holy of Holies, so the prayers of the saints brought unto the Father are a sweet fragrance. God loves to hear the prayers of his people. There is a sweet fragrance unto the Lord. David prayed, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." Now, in our text here in the 8th chapter is the second place in the book of Revelation where the prayers of God's people are likened unto incense arising to the Father. The first is back in chapter 5 when Jesus takes the scroll out of the right hand of him who is sitting upon the throne. As the cherubim and the elders begin to worship the Lord, it says, when he had taken the scroll, the four cherubim and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden censers that are full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, for 2 millennia, the church has been praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven." In Revelation chapter 5, the time has come for the fulfilling of that prayer. And so the collected prayers of the church through the centuries will be brought before the throne of God at that moment when he takes the scroll, the title deed to the earth, preparing to come and establish God's kingdom upon the earth when God's will shall be done here on earth even as it is in heaven. At that time, our prayers will be as incense rising before the throne of the Father. Here in our text, chapter 8. "And another angel came, and he stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all of the saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand." And so again, even as the high priest would take the powdered incense, drop it on the hot coals and the smoke, representing the prayers of the people, would come before the Lord as a sweet-smelling savor, so your prayers are a sweet fragrance unto God. How he loves for you to pray. I am sure that one of the great mysteries among the angels is man's reluctance to spend time with God. I'm sure that the angels just can't figure that out. The Bible tells us that angels really desire to look into these things that God has provided for us. Which things it says the angels desire to look into. It means they're watching. And I'm sure that as they're watching, they wonder why, when God has made himself available to us, we avail ourselves so little of the help and the presence of God. You know, when we have spare time, what do? You pick up a magazine, a newspaper, you flick on television. Rather than saying, "Oh, I've got some time to just spend with the Lord and to enjoy his presence and just to spend time with him." It's tragic that we spend time, so much time, in things that have no eternal value at all. and so little time in things that have an eternal value attached. I think another thing that the angels sort of marvel over and are baffled by is that people think of prayer only as petition. So the only time they come to God is when they have some desperate need. So there's always a sense of panic and urgency when you pray, because that's the only time you come. And I think that God loves you so much and enjoys so much having you come that sometimes he just makes things desperate for you. And you come and say, "Oh, Lord, help." And he said, "Well, nice to see you. Missed you. You know. Great to have you." But that's how much he loves you. That if that's the only way he can get you, he's not adverse to that. I think another thing that is an amazement to the angels is that we usually consider prayer as the last resort. Sort of like, if everything else fails, then try prayer. As sort of a last resort. As this ship was crossing the Atlantic in very rough seas, a lady saw the captain there on the bridge, and she said, "Captain, is everything all right?" He said, "Ma'am, we just have to trust the Lord." And she panicked. She said, "Oh, I didn't realize it was that bad." You know, if you made prayer your first resort, you'd probably never come to the last resort. I think as the angels watch us struggling with our problems, they see us scheming. They watch us as we flail, as we are drowning in our difficulties. I think the whole time they're sort of asking each other, why don't they pray? When are they going to call on the Lord? Why is it that when God has made himself available to them, they're struggling so much with those issues? Rather than just, as the Lord said, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. Another hymn writer has caught the essence. He said, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." And a lot of you are going through needless suffering, needless pain, needless sorrows, because you haven't taken it to the Lord in prayer. Like James said, you have not because you ask not. It's just that simple. And I think that that amazes the angels. When God has made himself available to each one of us, we do not avail ourselves that opportunity of spending time with him. In Luke 18, it says that Jesus spoke a parable unto them to this intent, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And so the parable was to encourage you to prayer, not to faint, not to just sort of crumble before your circumstances, but to pray, bring them to the Lord. There is a new term that's sort of been coined in the last few years. It's called quality time. And we talk about having quality time with our spouses. We talk about quality time with our children. The phrase has sort of grown out of the busy lives that we have all been sort of pressured into by our cultural development. It seems like we have so little time for important things in life anymore that the little time that we have, we want it to be quality time. And so that's a term that they use quite often now, spending quality time. And you hear a person say, well, I really had some quality time with my children this past week. And the importance of this quality time. But I wonder, how long has it been since you've had quality time with the Lord? How long since you've just really spent quality time worshiping, opening your heart, letting Him know your feelings, sharing your heart with Him, and letting Him share His heart with you? You see, prayer is not just a monologue, it's a dialogue. It is God speaking to you as well as you speaking to God. And I've come to the conclusion of what God has to say to me is really more important than what I have to say to God. And so I've sought to make the listening side of prayer an important part of my prayer experience. Listening for God to speak to me. And God has spoken and does speak to us through His Word. Quality time in the Word. Quality time opening our hearts, bringing our needs to Him, expressing our love, our adoration, our joy, our excitement in knowing Him. How long has it been since you've spent some real quality time with the Lord? We hear so many family counselors decrying the small amount of time that a parent spends with their child these days, quality time. And it actually is less than an hour a week, they say, on a general average. I wonder, are we neglecting the most important one? God desires your fellowship. Your prayers are as a sweet fragrance unto God. He enjoys being with you. Why don't you spend more time with Him? Father, we pray that Your Spirit will speak to our hearts today and that You will draw us, Lord, from the cares of this life unto fellowship with You. More and more, Lord, let our hearts be attuned to the things of the Spirit as we lift our voices, as we express our praise, as we, Lord, spend time with You. Lord, forgive us for wasting so much time, doing so many things, Lord, that have no real profit. Doing things that only are entertaining to our minds, sort of escapes from the reality. And Lord, may we spend more time as Mary, just sitting at Your feet, loving, adoring, listening, worshiping. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here at the front to pray with you and to pray for you. If you have any needs, they're here to minister to you and to pray for those needs, whether they be marital problems, family problems, financial difficulties, physical problems, spiritual problems, emotional problems. God's there. He's maybe allowed you to get into this position so you would call, and He's waiting for you to come. And so I would encourage you to come on down after the service. If you're in need of prayer, they're here to pray for you. And I pray that even this afternoon, you'll find some quality time with the Lord. Just opening your heart to Him. Opening your mind. Allowing God to speak to you. And just sharing your love. It's like a sweet fragrance unto God. Your prayers. God's waiting for you. Don't disappoint Him again, but keep your appointments with Him.